used to be easier. Not so much now. I'm reading from the book of Luke today. And Luke was very well educated, and he also wrote the longest of the Gospels. And I'm reading from chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then 16 through 20. Like Snoopy this morning, I didn't want to get up out of my bed, but God said, yes, you will. And so I'm assuming that, like today's lesson, God sent me. This is what the Lord did. After the Lord appointed 72 others, we know there were 12 disciples, but obviously Jesus sent others also. So he sent 72 others and sent them two at a time and said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse, well, my purse is here this morning, or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick, so he gave them work to do. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet is a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. And then 16 through 20. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like the lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
I was going to say, you may be seated, but you are. And now we're going to hear the word that God has given Pastor Emily.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning. I am so glad to be with all of you this morning. Thanks for your welcome today. I'm glad to get to read a little Bible and sing beautiful music with you and pray together. It's good to be together here this morning, isn't it? Well, you don't know me very well yet, and I don't know you very well yet, so it's going to be even stranger that I am starting off my sermon today with a bit of a personal story, all right? Are you prepared? So when I was a kid, I had one of those classic underwear dreams. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That kind of dream where somehow you end up in front of your whole class in your underwear. So this dream was before I had a class presentation, and I dreamt that I showed up with my cute little trifold poster board and my little note cards, and I got up there in front of the class, and only then did I realize I was only wearing my underwear. Classic, right? Every sitcom has an episode like this. Maybe you have even had a dream like this at some point, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was not the only time I had that kind of a dream. It has been a reoccurring theme for me before big events in my life. High school graduation or big college presentations, job interviews. Sometimes I'd just be missing one piece of clothing. Sometimes I would be in my pajamas. Other times, especially before church-related events, I might be missing my stole or I'd forgotten my notes for the sermon. Thankfully, that did not happen this morning.
Amen.
That, of course, is just a different kind of nakedness, right? In each dream, I was left somehow unprepared, caught off guard, exposed, or vulnerable. That is what those kind of dreams are all about, after all, vulnerability. For me, these dreams have always happened amid a situation where I had to put myself out there, where I had to show who I was and what I knew and just await others' response, where I had to show up in a situation that I did not have control over, where I did not have control over how things were going to turn out. Those are vulnerable times. And as humans, I think we are wired to avoid that kind of vulnerability. We brag, after all, right? We boast. We tell the story so that we come out looking good. We often have difficulty apologizing, right? Or admitting when we've done something wrong. Instead, we defend ourselves. We share not our greatest failures or fears on social media, but we share our triumphs, that great-looking cake we baked, or the perfect shot from the family vacation, the clean house, the award we got at work. We don't share pictures of the dead houseplants, or the piles of laundry, or a photo of the family vacation argument, or that burned birthday cake. It's probably wired into us human beings as a survival tactic. We want to look good to others so that we're accepted into the community, so that we're respected as valuable and are cared for. Well, Jesus must know about this temptation to avoid vulnerability because, after all, Jesus is human too, right? And yet Jesus sends out his disciples under some very vulnerable circumstances. Jesus appoints 72 of his followers to go out ahead of him in pairs to every town. And like we heard this morning, I love the biblical background you gave us. There weren't only 12 disciples in the Gospel of Luke. There's a whole crowd of them, women and men who have followed Jesus, supported his ministry, and who seek to do his work in the world. These disciples are to go out in complete vulnerability. They are to carry no possessions, no change of clothes, no money, no shoes, no food. They will be completely reliant on others for their survival. And when they come to a town, they enter a house and they have only words to offer. No housewarming gift or no fruitcake, only words. Peace to this house. While staying there, they are to eat whatever is set before them, setting aside their own preferences or dietary restrictions. They are showing up in a situation where they do not have control over how things are going to go. And it's not like Jesus has somehow stacked the deck for them, sending them only to towns where he knows they're going to be well received. Jesus makes clear there will be successes and failures. Some will welcome them and others are going to run them out of town. And no matter the outcome, they will say, "The kingdom of God has come near." And if needed, they will shake the dust off their feet and go on to the next town and do it all over again. I wonder if any of them had the underwear dream the night before they left. Why does Jesus have to send them out like that? Why can't Jesus send them out well-prepared and fully stocked up? What is it about the arrival of the kingdom of God that requires vulnerability? Because there is something about God and God's kingdom that brings out our vulnerability. There is something about nearness to God's kingdom that requires us to be our authentic selves, even when that authentic self is less than Instagram perfect. There is something about sharing the good news of the arrival of God's kingdom that needs us to let down our guards, our resistance, our defenses. Because you can't receive the goodness of forgiveness if there's nothing to forgive. And you can't testify to the miracle of receiving God's help in your time of need if you have everything that you need in yourself. And you can't talk about the wonder of knowing the love of other people and through them Jesus' love if you are so walled off or numbed up that you can't feel that love. Perhaps that's why Jesus sends out the disciples like this. So they will know what it is to be totally stripped down, totally dependent on others, all barriers and defenses laid aside. So they are ready to truly receive God's forgiveness and God's help through the hands of others and the love of those they encounter on the way. And in this receiving, are then able to testify to that experience, testify to a love, a grace, a divine presence that casts out all demons and sets all fears aside. The disciples could not do that without first being stripped down, almost to their underwear. The disciples are not sent out by an emotionally manipulative God that seeks to see them embarrassed or tested, but rather they are sent out by a God who knows this intimately. One who knows that our vulnerability allows us to experience the kingdom of God that is always near. One who knows what goodness it is to receive hospitality and welcome in the home of strangers. One who knows that there is strength to be found in honest weakness and joy in genuine sadness. That real love is exposing your heart to someone and loving them, whether or not they love you back. This is the one who goes to the cross to expose his heart, to expose the depth of God's love, to show us that what the world sees as vulnerability, what the world sees as something to avoid, is actually a big part of what God is up to in the world. It's the message of the cross. That our God is not one who chooses to sit far above us in power and majesty and might, but is one who chose humility and love and sacrifice over power and control and assertion and coercion. That our God is one who draws us to God's self, not in force, but in vulnerability. And if we, my new friends, if we are to follow such a one, if we are to do the same, well, we have to accept such vulnerability too. And we, as a congregation, are being invited into a time of such vulnerability now. As Pastor Vicky began her ministry with First South Bend just last Sunday, we are beginning a new kind of ministry together, as I am here with you this morning. This is one where we will work together as Northwest and First to form a community parish, a collaboration where we each find a way to maintain part of what makes us us, our identities, but where we work together for the sake of the world around us. Like the disciples, we do not know what we are getting ourselves into. And I say that including Pastor Vicky and myself in the we. And like the disciples, maybe like Snoopy and his pals, we are not being sent out alone. Two communities, two churches, two pastors, a whole crowd of disciples sent together to do God's work in the world. But to fully explore this new calling together, to fully explore this new ministry, we will have to be vulnerable. Ick. We will have to learn to be vulnerable with one another and with God. We will need to risk making some mistakes and even admitting when we've made them. We'll need to be open to the pain that comes with failure. We'll need to relinquish control over the situation and trust that Jesus is sending us out and will take care of us. That whatever else happens, that is the ultimate certainty. Jesus will take care of us and will guide us even when we can't see where the path will lead. And we'll have to keep our hearts tender and soft even when we feel like we want to close our eyes or clench up or shut down. We have to keep our hearts tender and soft so that we are receptive to both the hurt and the love of others. That's the only way to minister to a world that's in need of God's love. And our world is so in need of God's love, isn't it? Amen. It is only when we can walk out into the world as vulnerable as Jesus was, as vulnerable as those 72 disciples were, that we can start to genuinely proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And we will come to know the kingdom of God as the place where Jesus rushes to be with us amid our deepest fears or greatest inadequacies. We will know it as the place where we can take a risk for the sake of others. A place where failure and uncertainty are okay. A place where our vulnerable God enters this world to walk with us. Maybe you have had an underwear dream at some point in your life too. If not, maybe you will now that I've said underwear so many times in the sermon. Did you think when this new pastor was showing up, she was going to say underwear like 45 times in morning worship? No. But even if you have not had a so-called underwear dream or anything like it, we have all had times where we feel exposed or inadequate or unprepared or even ashamed. If we can show up in those kinds of moments with our whole heart, Jesus promises that we too will cast out demons. Amen. And lay all fears aside.
Amen.
And when we can't, Jesus promises that we will still have the strength to shake the dust off of our feet.
Amen.
And go on and move on in good company and in good faith. Thanks be to God for you all this morning. Thanks be to God. Amen.